All right, Toby Hedrix, how are we, my friend?
Good, thanks, mate. Good, and yourself?
Oh, look, I'm great. I mean, I feel bad we haven't talked, obviously, since you got back from overseas. So this is kind of a cool little catch-up leading into the end of the year and the start of the year. But, mate, massive congratulations. We were just speaking before about what you've achieved. And I think you better give us a bit of a rundown and actually what's happened in the last couple of months to get you to where you are now.
Yeah, so we had a big lead up into heading over to Morocco, which was the final round of the FIM World Rally Series, and that's actually the last rally before they all head over to Dakar soon. And yeah, we went over there with some expectations and things that we'd like to achieve, and we managed that, and we ended up walking away with the fastest rookie, which gained us entry straight into Dakar, which is pretty cool. And we're able to roll that over into 2025, which, I'm stoked about. So.
Mate, like we were just saying before, like to those who probably don't know rally, it seems like, okay, cool, you went over there, you got an award and you got a free entry to another race, like congratulations. But to people who know what that actually means, it's huge. And like it's such a massive achievement to then get an entry to Dakar. How did that feel?
Oh, it was surreal, mate, to be honest. Like, during the race, I knew that was to play for. I thought it was that qualification into Dakar, which it was, but it was also, the full entry fees covered. And, I just, at the end of the race, when I realised that I'd won it, it was, life-changing experience, I guess.
Absolutely. And as I said before, it's also that international recognition now. Like, it's not just you going through, doing an event, being a name on the list. Like, you've got that recognition as the fastest guy. And then to follow that through. And, I mean, it's a cool that they've managed to push it to 2025 and you're not rushed to do, Dakar in a couple of weeks, mate.
Oh, absolutely. That was one of my first concerns. Like, oh, this is sick. But, God, I'm definitely, even if it was for 2024, I don't think I would have turned around and done it. I don't feel ready and I don't want to half-ass it, so I just thought, but no, they were good, and they said no dramas at all, we'll roll that to 2025, which is great for me, and suits my timeline, so.
That's perfect. I mean, and how did it actually feel now competing on the world stage?
Like, looking back, it all happened so quick, and there was so much going on, but it was awesome to finally, go over there and see what it's all about and test myself against the world's best. It's crazy. It's a whole nother world out there. In terms of rally racing, like it's like nothing I've really experienced or ridden before here in Australia. So it was just, new bike, new team, reading road books that I'd only sort of read through and never raced. It was, crazy, but a whirlwind, but loved it.
Well, Australians go over there and we definitely, the road racing, the map reading, is definitely something that we kind of fall back on compared to the rest of the world. We'd have the speed, and it's really shown with Toby and Chucky and things like that, and even guys before you. You have done so much training with the road books. Do you feel like that was a strong point, or do you think it was just because you have great speed and skill on the bike that was able to keep you up front?
Yeah, look, it's a skill of mine, and I can't really put my finger on exactly what it is, but the road book stuff to me, it feels like it feels natural, and it probably has a lot to do with the training I've put in, but it is quite full on. Like, you're processing a lot of information all the time, but it feels slow motion to me, and it always has felt that way, just how I process it. But definitely the training I've put in with the road books, my whole year this year has really been rally focused, which I haven't had a year like that really in the past. It's been more desert, and then just doing rallies on the side, but this year's been very rally focused, a lot of training with the road books, and it's paid off in the end, but it was just great to get over there and really test myself against some of the world's best, or the world's best, and come out the other side with a little trophy.
Absolutely. I mean, you're right, you've done a lot of road book training this year, and you've also got to line up against like Lukey Hayes and Jacob Smith on the bike, and they're really great riders here in Australia, and they're able to push you while you're racing with these road books. What was it like then standing up next to these international riders and kind of pushing them?
It was interesting. It taught me a lot with the navigation, because it's, they're really only riding at sort of 80%. Like, the pace wasn't the thing. It really came down to how you navigate and make decisions. Like, it was, just a different ball game. Like, we ride flat out here. When I was racing Jakey at the safari, it was just 100% all the way. And it's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the right road. And you just, you know, you're just going for it because everything's on tracks and farm tracks. And it's a little bit easier to read. But over there, there's a lot of off-piste and cap headings and waypoints, which is just, yeah, a complete, you know, another ball game altogether. So, yeah, the navigation is probably the biggest thing. The takeaway from me that I learnt the whole time while I was riding was, just how they navigate. It was cool. So,
were you able to ride with other guys as well, kind of being a bit of a group?
Yeah, yes and no. You weren't in groups as such. I reckon I was with another, you know, you'd catch up to riders and they'd catch up to you. But, you know, no sooner did you would pass them or they'd pass me. I didn't really find myself in a group all that often, which was actually probably made it a bit trickier with the navigation. I was by myself a lot. And in the dunes and stuff, the tracks tend to blow away and rocky terrain as well. You don't really see many tracks in front of you. So that was a little bit tricky. With the team I was with, Bass KDM, they all the other riders around there were great. They gave me plenty of tips and tricks on how to navigate and what the road books are written like and things like that, which definitely helped.
Yeah, no, it does. It kind of gives you another kind of insight to the race itself. Because, I mean, as you said before, you only can do a fair bit of riding here. And luckily you've got like Houlihan and Michael Burgess and guys like that behind you to give the best knowledge. But when you get over there, it's all those little tips and tricks that are just going to help fill it in.
Yeah, and I definitely got that with that team. They were unreal, from the riders and mechanics. It was very professional. And I think from the get-go, that was something I was very nervous about going over because it's something that, you know, the bike prep and all of that is normally what, you know, I do all of that here in Australia, but I went over there with not touching a thing. It just felt strange, to be honest, but it actually was, unreal. It couldn't have went better, so.
And, I mean, you over here, you ride on, like, a 500, is that right? Yeah, a KTM 500?
That's it.
So what did you ride over there?
So over there, I rode a rally replica, like a KTM factory rally bike, which was that was a whole other thing in itself too. That was
big
like a dream
time.
Come true.
Right on the big boy machine, mate.
Yeah. So, and I was nervous, like, it took me a few days to get my head around that. I had nothing really to compare it to. So I didn't know what to expect with it. But God, it could, what you could do on it and, you know, the way it handled was something, it was unreal. It was just honestly, obviously is built for that type of racing, and you could really tell that by the last few days I was just getting my confidence on it. So I'm actually in the process of trying to get one here to train on.
Look at that, Mr. Money.
That'd be game changing if I can pull that off, because I just think that would go the next level again if I could be training on that over here, get a set up suspension wise and things like that on there that I'm used to, and that way when I go over there it's just like take to it like a duck to water rather than have 2 days of trying to work it all out again.
No, you're right. It's definitely not like a normal 450 or a 500, and you can't even almost replicate it with like a 690 or something like that. They're a completely different bike to themselves.
Yeah.
And the only way to ride it anyway to learn to ride it is to actually ride it.
Absolutely. And I underestimated what it could do and how it handled.
Yeah.
And I was very hesitant and nervous on it the first few days.
Yeah.
And the first few days it felt like riding Hatter back to back is honestly how tired I was. It was just so tense on the bike.
Yep.
And then, the last 3 days felt, a bit of a walk in the park, a bit easier for me. I think that was just a lot to do with getting comfortable on the bike.
Yeah, look, I mean, I've only ever ridden one, and it's been a very, very short amount of time, but I remember standing, like, getting on it, and it feels like a really big bike. It feels like this big, heavy thing, but when you start actually moving it and actually getting it at speed, it's a really nimble little bike. Like, it doesn't seem it, but it actually is a super nimble and easy to steer bike.
Yeah, the way it carries its weight, all the fuel's down low on it, so it's very stable. It takes quite a lot to unsettle it. Yep. The only thing is when it does snap sideways, you forget it. you're gone. It did it to me. It happened to me once going through a creek crossing. I just caught a rock and I just blinked and I was on the ground. It happened that quick. but other than that, it was good. So
yeah, look, and also they cost an arm and a leg, mate, so you really don't want to have you doing that too many times.
no, yeah, don't worry about me, worry about the bike.
Every time, mate, I'm sorry, mate, it's always going to be, I will run to that bike first, buddy, that's the way it's going to work. So then what does that mean now for next year? What does that mean for your plans? I mean, if you follow you online, you can still see there's a bit of an idea of kind of how your schedule is until Dakar. Does this kind of change anything?
Absolutely, it does. So I was planning on originally heading over earlier in the year, in the first 6 months, to do a couple rallies to gain the points to then qualify for Dakar. But now, having done that off the back of Morocco, I still will go overseas twice, but I'll push it further to the back, at, you know, towards the end of the year, so I can lead into Dakar with a bit more bike time and prep. So yeah, it changes my international plans quite a bit. I'll still do all the national stuff here, like the condos and the safari. I'll try to get to Hatter as well.
Oh, nice.
And a few local races. But yeah, definitely just rally focused. And you know, like I said before, try to get a rally bike over here and do all my as much riding as I can on that. And yeah, go from there. But Argentina, in the middle of the year next year, I think it's in July, will be my first international race, I believe.
Yep.
Is the plan, and then I'll probably head over to Dubai later in the year, which won't be a race, just for some training and some dunes. So,
mate, that's a good plan. I mean, does that mean we could see you doing Hatter on a 450 rally? Is that what you're saying?
That's what you said. Yeah, I don't want to mix my words up a bit. No, I don't. It would be.
No,
I wouldn't have to stop for fuel.
Yeah, mate, you wouldn't. 4 hours, mate. Come on, like not a chance, buddy. Like, you're fit, but you ain't that fit. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's ridiculous. But I mean, it'd be interesting. I mean, it's definitely not.
No, I would consider maybe not condo, but even the safari here. I wouldn't be the pace home on the 500 because the top speed and what the how they handle. But you know, I would consider riding it at safari potentially. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're good just training bikes. I mean, obviously, Houlihan and Benny Young and those guys have them, and they ride them around, you know, not as frequently as they should, but they can be used in many areas. And I suppose, as you said before, you also need to get it set up, because when you went over there, what was the main focus on for you? Was it trying to just figure out how the bike worked and the navigation kind of stuff like that, or were you just trying to get suspension and engine tune sorted?
I really didn't put much, like, having not ridden the bike at all, and then going out and, you know, you're riding terrain you haven't been on, you're reading a map that you've never read, and then obviously trying to get a feel for the bike. It was really tricky to pinpoint what was going on. When you're not really thinking set up mind when you're racing and navigating. So it took me a few days to, you know, make some minor adjustments. It was just basic suspension stuff. I didn't touch any engine tunes or anything like that. They're pretty rock solid that way.
Yeah.
The gear ratios were a fair bit different to what I'm used to. Really had to let the bike rev a fair bit. But yeah, really just some basic suspension setup is all I really went for. And I actually came out the other end with a bike that was, very comfortable to ride. So I really didn't change much.
That's awesome. And what about the body? Because obviously you're on the big stage now. Did you find you were wearing yourself out faster because you were so involved, so tense, so stressed about it all? Or did you kind of manage to settle down and say, ride it like a Sunraiser?
The first 2 days, almost like a blur. It felt like my mind, I was just going everywhere. But then the last 3 days, cool. It just felt very cool, calm and collected. Mm. But I couldn't say it's no one thing. It was the whole, you know, the whole experience in itself. I think we left the first morning at 6. The sun doesn't come up there till about 7:30. So we're in the dark for an hour and a half, and we traveled 300 Ks. Before we even started the first competitive, which was then a 400K competitive. So wow. I've obviously in training, I've done things like that, but training and racing are two different things. So yeah, it was a bit of a shock to the system, that's for sure.
Look, it's intense, mate. And as you said, there are big days on the bike and it is a lot. So to be able to know you can at least mentally and physically get through it, it must make you feel pretty good about your prep.
Yeah, definitely. And that's something that I've always tried to keep. That's my strength, I guess, is that mental side and that bulldog in me, sort of just to keep cruising along and pushing and fighting. I just that never give up mentality and small steps. Don't, you know, just look at it 50Ks rather than trying to, you know, think out the whole rally and where you're going to end up. Just really try to break it down in your mind and focus on where you are and where you're going in the moment.
And so what do you think was the biggest thing you took away from the rally?
probably the navigation. What I learned with the navigation and the pace they run. I thought with the pace that I rode the race, I'm very surprised with where I ended up. I didn't think I rode anything that was crazy or risky. I was very reserved. I just went out there with the, you know, the mindset of just simply to finish, which the end probably worked out a little bit better for me. But yeah, the pace that they run over there and the navigation are the two things that I've, the big takeaways for me now when I come back and train. I know that, yeah, where I've sort of got to be. So,
well, that's interesting. So it means that you, I guess, you've got the pace there. It's just get, like reining it back, getting those notes done, and then hopefully one day linking that all together and it really could show that you could be right up the front.
Yeah, hopefully, mate. Hopefully it's, yeah, it's build off of that, I guess, off of that result. Yeah, and hopefully get over there. We'll definitely get over to at least one in Argentina, maybe one a little bit later in the year and a training run, and then lead into a Dakar. So,
and so what does exciting. That, you know, the fastest rookie, free entry to Dakar, what does that actually involve? Is it, do you get your bike and everything set up, or is it just the entry fee?
The entry fee, which is €17,000, which translates to about 26,000 Australian. So it's
huge.
A massive thing, mate. Yeah, and just the peace of mind to then, you know, in myself to be, you know, I'm obviously, if I hadn't have achieved that, I would have been still sitting here going, I've still got to qualify, which is a different mindset to I'm definitely going, you know, and even just talking to sponsors and people that are wanting to help out and all of that, the team around you, this confidence and it's already building, you know, which is great. It's a good position to be in, I guess, and just really knuckle down now and put the training in and, yeah, try better the results, I guess.
Mate, it's like you're a factory rider in, you know, kind of in that position, which you're right, it does kind of take a lot of that stress away from the next event you ride in because you're not going to have to push yourself, you know, a million miles an hour to try and get there. You've already done that hard yards. You've got the entry, but then we also have the financial burden lifted as well. So that must be another part of itself.
Oh, absolutely. It's, yeah, and when you think about it all like that, it's, I didn't think I'd be sitting here in this position. Whilst I knew I could, the potential was there if everything went right, but... You know, as we said earlier, it doesn't with motorsports. It's very rarely things all fall into place, and it just seemed that was the case. I had a few hiccups along the way where I thought, oh no, this might be it. Little mechanical dramas and things, but but it all panned out. Which is that happens in just about every rally event, by the way, to nearly every competitor. It's the nature of the racing that we do, and that's sort of what makes it that great when it all goes your way.
Absolutely, mate. Especially in rally as well, because you've got so many things working against you. Just to try and get it across the line. So for you to be able to do it and you didn't have to sit there and, you know, wind your road book by hand and all those kind of horrible things.
the reason I giggled because I didn't have to roll it by hand. We used, which we haven't touched on, there was a brand new electronic road book.
Oh,
I had to swipe it. You try to use a tablet with the glove on, it doesn't work too well.
You're trying to spit on your finger as you're riding along to get it. But so was it not even like a little thumb kind of controller? Did you have to actually swipe the screen?
No, so it had a thumb controller, the Rally GP and anyone that was registered in the Rally 2 category for the series didn't have to run the electronic road books. Mm. So basically, there was about the top 20-ish, 30-ish bikes didn't have to. They could run the traditional road book.
But
everyone down the field had to run these electronic road books, which were just like having an iPad strapped to your bars, and that was it. The vision was quite bad, dust in the sun. But other than that, I didn't mind it, how it sort of the information was just displayed and things like that. But just a few teeth and issues I need. Hopefully they can sort out.
Oh, mate, we're stepping into the future, buddy.
Yeah, it is. It was a bit of a look, you know, a look into the future. I think it's inevitable that that's the way they're going to head with it all. Mm. So, it is exciting. I really liked it. A lot of people were in questioning it, but I didn't mind it.
I guess also you're coming in fresh, so this is kind of what you're used to now, whereas these older guys who have probably been running with paper road books for many years, they're used to it, and it's like, oh, this new technology for the kids.
What is this?
Oh, this is terrific. You're
giving my paper and highlighter.
Yeah, this Instatalk thing. I don't like this at all.
Something like that, yeah.
But look, I suppose
the best thing actually about it too is I didn't even get sick while I was over there. I was warned that much about it, not to get the steer clear of the water, but it was great.
You shouldn't be selling it like this because everyone thinks it's going to be the same thing. Oh, I'll just go into a rally. Nothing's going to go wrong. I'm not going to get sick. I'm not going to get lost in the middle of the desert.
I just, Yeah, hopefully I haven't used up all my lucky stars, but no, we'll be all right.
Well, I mean, we've said before about sponsors, there'd probably be a really big list of people that you want to thank, especially kind of not only just to get to you this point, but then also moving forward with that invitation to Dakar. Who are these people that you need to thank?
Yeah, definitely, mate. So there's a lot of local companies here in my hometown in Mildura, and All Seasons Houseboats definitely are one of the first guys to jump on board. The whole team there is just so supportive of really, my journey. Got Mototech as well, who are here in Mildura and Geelong also. Aurora Rally Oz, they got, if you are looking for a rally tower, they're unreal. EXE kits and things like that are spot on.
Oh, they're awesome, yeah. I just bought one 500, they're sick.
Oh, they're so good. You got Penrite Oils as well. They're another company that jumped on board nearly from the get-go. Musashi Nutrition, their stuff. I use a lot of their energy bars when I'm out doing my training and things like that. So, but look, there's a whole list of sponsors and people that are just so – and that's one thing that surprised me the most is just the generosity of people to support someone just wanting to achieve their dream and just wanting to be part of the journey. It's massive, mate. I honestly wouldn't be able to do anything like any of what I'm doing without that. So, you know, all those guys, it's just, I can't say thank you enough. So,
well, man, it's, once again, massive congratulations for the year. It's just awesome to be able to walk away from this year with kind of the fastest rookie award, but also a free entry to Dakar. Massive thing for us. And I guess it's another great thing for you as well to really give you that confidence moving in. Hopefully that doesn't inflate your ego too much, mate. And when I see you at condo, you're walking around with this big head, because otherwise I'll put it down, mate. I'll put it down.
No, I can promise you that. Hopefully that'll never be me. And if it is, well, I give you permission to bloody pull me back down.
It is going to be exciting to see you go through the year. Hopefully we can see you on a 450 replica at some point, just to kind of get you settled in and then follow your journey all the way through. Where can we follow you as well?
Yeah, so Instagram and Facebook, mate, jump on there, Toby Hedricks HRA, and it'll come up. But absolutely, if anyone that is interested or wants to help in just in little ways, that's the way they definitely can, because that support goes a long way as well.
No, man, awesome, buddy. Well, congratulations. Have a good Christmas and New Year time off, mate, and we will be definitely catching up with you next year.
Thanks, Jeremy. Talk soon, mate. Bye.